y'all that are staying, no matter what age, and I told them, I said, there's a lot of times people will come and visit over all these years, and you'll see the kids just not get up and go. They just don't. They want to be with mom and dad right now. Well, if that's the case, that's a good thing. I'm okay with that. Have them bring a Bible and let's start teaching them in here that let's figure out how to start going with the minister, with the preacher, and go through the Word of God. And that's what I want y'all to do. So that's why I always say, let me see your Bibles. So let me see your Bible. Hold up your Bible. I want to see the Word of God. I want to see your phone, your tablet, or that actual book. Amen? And I'm okay with any of it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, we've got to get used to bringing our Word. And again, all these years, a lot of my pastor friends are like, man, you got to get with the times. And you got to start putting it up there, you know, and letting them see the Scripture. Well, what I've seen personally just here is it causes people not to bring their Bible. And it's imperative that we bring the Word. Amen. And you're going to learn that in the book of James. So turn over to James chapter 1. Most of you know, a lot of us ministers, and there's a lot of people from this church that went to the ministers' conference, had a blessed time. I'm just a part. The Lord opened the door and they turned over that association as far as the president to me. And then I knew I needed the right people to be the board. And so I immediately called old Rusty, who's been around probably longer than most of the ministries. Him and Kathy have been around a long time, ministering, evangelizing, and just doing what God's called them to do. And then Trey Johnson, Heather, as well as Darren and Lynette Gleghorn from Colorado. And they've all preached here at one time or another. But I don't bring in a lot of people because we have three other ministers that are fantastic, in my opinion. Amen. Amen. Give them some confidence. Amen. So, but we had a great, great time. And we were able to build each other up. And before I left last Sunday, we dug into James chapter 1. And I didn't realize I was going to go into James chapter 1 at the conference, but I did, because as ministers, we need to be reminded that it's so important that we get complete, lacking nothing, because that's what the very first part of James talks about. Remember in verse 2, count it all joy. And so we took a little time last week here to talk about remaining in joy. Why would the Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit of God, say, count it all joy? Not happiness. I'm talking joy. Joy that's everlasting. Praise the Lord. Because once you learn how to stay in joy, even if you're around a bunch of crazy things that tries to rob your joy, staying in joy is very important to a believer. And I always say, you can go back to the Old Testament, because joy will, if you remain in it, will give you strength to carry on. And in these days, which I call the last of the last days, we need to have joy more than any other time. That way you're not always crying and going through these tough times like sickness and disease, financial issues, relationship issues. I mean, and the list can go on, right? So we went through counting it all joy and those kind of things. And I want to just begin in verse 6 of James chapter 1, because we went all the way to verse 5 talking about, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom, who gives it to you liberally. In the King James it says, upbraideth not. The New King James, it uses a word called reproach. In other translations, it amplifies it as well. But there's something about even that very first word that says, if you lack wisdom, let him, say it with me, ask. Say that louder. Ask. Okay? Now, look at verse 6. But let him, okay, look at me real fast so we can make sure we set a foundation here. We're asking for wisdom, which means we need wisdom in some area of our life. Our relationship, being a better dad, a better mom, being a better friend, business. We need wisdom on how to do things a little bit better, maybe. How do we do business without the enemy coming and robbing in some areas like breakdowns? You know, if you're a farmer or a rancher, then you're constantly building fence, fixing a tractor. I mean, the list goes on and on. In my case, I'm constantly looking at animals. I have, me and Cole, there's about 23 steers right here to the left of us. You probably see them if you look into that little pasture. I'm constantly watching them as a good steward to make sure that they're healthy. I went out there the other day after I wormed them. And I'm just here to, Father, I need wisdom. So if you have a little wisdom how to kill worms better than I do, let me know. Because those worms are deadly. They are like bionic. I told my wife, they are bionic worms. You can worm and worm and worm. You can drench them. You can inject them under the skin. You can pour on the back. You can change up. Safeguard. You know, whatever a different kind is. And sometimes it still doesn't kill all the worms that gets into these steers. But that's what a good steward does. I'm constantly watching. When you see the little skin come down under their necks, they're wormy. Well, but sir, I just wormed them 2 weeks ago. And do I have to do it again? And the Lord says, yes. You do it until you kill all the worms that are on the inside trying to take all the nutrients. Because that's what happens. And then I noticed there was another steer that had a little cough. When they get a cough, you better get a hold of it. Because if it gets in and they get pneumonia, and animals get that just like humans. But in an animal, it'll kill them. And that's not a good thing. We believe in life, right? And not death. And they cost a lot of money, and you want to be a good steward. So I'm constantly asking for the wisdom. Amen. And I'm not proud enough to think I know everything. So if there's something better that's working for you, not in sheep and goats, I'm talking in cattle. And I got it down in horses. I can keep them shiny. I keep the tail growing, praise God. I need to know about the animals. Just do it more. I don't know, just change it up. Well, if I don't ask for the wisdom, then God can't give it. So look at verse 6 here. But let him ask in faith. So we need to talk just a little bit about that word ask. So I want you to hold your place here in James chapter 1 and turn to your left to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to wait for you to go there. So when you get to Matthew chapter 7, just say amen. And I'm waiting for pages to quit turning because I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 7. Amen? Amen. Most everybody there? It's on page 1367 in my Bible. Look at verse 7. Ask I like this because Jesus is talking here. It's in red. And it, what is it talking about there? Whatever you ask for. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. God is, through the Lord Jesus, is being real positive here, right? I mean, he's saying some things with some authority. You ask, brother, sister, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who... Are y'all there? Look at it. Let me read it again, and you just say the word after me. For everyone, this is verse 8, who asks, receives, thank you, Lord. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Now think about that for a minute, because I literally looked up in the Greek that word ask. And you know what it means? Ask, making a request to someone in a higher position. Listen, when we need wisdom, that means we might not know the answer. We might try some things, but I want to know from someone that has proven that area that I'm asking for. That's why I'm not prideful about asking for a little bit of advice. Rusty, being a cow man, about worms. I want to ask someone, okay, what are we doing though in James? We're asking God, right? I'm pretty sure he knows all the answers. And he knows how to kill those worms, right? Or give me the wisdom to, he's not going to probably come down and go ahead and kill them all without me putting some wormer in their bellies. Amen. He's going to say, hey, here's what you do. But think about that. We're just not talking about cattle. We're talking about everything that pertains to life. We need to ask. And that word ask is just making a request to someone in a higher position. Like a child asking a parent. I love it when my son calls and says, hey, Dad, did you watch me rope? I said, yeah, I saw it. I was watching on television. Or someone was there, maybe filmed it at Fort Worth. And I watched him. He was 4-4 in the team roping. But he didn't place. No, he's 4-6. Is that right? And 4-4 was last hole. I'm like, man, that was a good run, man. At the Cowtown Coliseum, there's poles. And when you come out as a header, when you pick up your rope, you could hit that pole. There's a little higher panel that you can hit. And he hit it as he was throwing. So he caught him, and his partner come and roped him. And they just wasn't as fast as, you know, a few other teams, you see. But I love it when he calls and says, hey, Dad, what do you think? Oh, Sally Red, the mare that he was riding, didn't face very fast. You know, because in team roping, when you face, you got to turn off a steer. The heeler comes and ropes 2 feet. And when you dally and you're faced with ropes tight on the animal, they drop the flag. Fastest time wins. But I love it when he calls and just asks for wisdom. Or my daughter, she'll call and say, Dad, would you pray with me? Man, I love that. Because that's what asking pertains to, like a child asking a parent, you see. The word literally denotes about this word ask, insistent asking without qualms. Not commanding God, God if else, have you ever heard people go in their times of distress, God, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll serve you. You know, if you'll do this, I'll do that. No. That's commanding God. And we don't do that, y'all. But solidly presenting a request. And God longs to distribute the request. That's why God says right here, if you'll ask, it'll be given unto you in Matthew chapter 7. Amen. So, what are we doing here? We're trying to figure out how to live in a world that is chaotic right now. And if you don't understand to ask, if you're too prideful to literally ask for help, you know, some of you men, when you drive, go ahead and ask for direction. It'll save you a little bit of time, right? And the women always know where to go. Somehow. So, there's something about just flat asking. I ask, when's a good time to get some hay?
Yeah.
Right? Not just show up. It's very important in the kingdom to ask. But what does it say after that? Ask in faith. Now, right now, think about something you need direction in. You need the answer in. You need God to manifest something or whatever you're believing, really. And you need it now. Because the very next part is, it says back in James. So turn back over to James. Back in James it says, but let him ask in what?
Faith.
Say it louder. Faith. So you need to figure out what faith is. I'm glad you asked. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews now. Chapter 11. Go to Hebrews. And let's go just barely to your left. And go to verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 1. Now y'all are reading it, right? Why? Because you have your Bibles. But you're wanting to see, what does verse 1 say in Hebrews 11? Now, don't miss the very first word of verse 1. Because it says and declares a word called now. And that's a verb. Because it says now faith. Well, is it a verb, James? It's an action. I mean, because now faith is really important. So whatever it is in you English teachers, I'm sure you'll tell me later. Don't miss the word now, though, because now is what? Now. Right now. So it doesn't have a comma after that word now, right? So I would read it personally, now faith. So faith can be now. And we need some things to happen now. Now, a lot of the times, faith is not now, because God's got to weed through some areas of our life, get the weeds out, get the unbelief out, so that we can have now faith. But what is this scripture saying? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, because everybody wants evidence. You see Scientology, that's how they live. They want the evidence. But that is not faith. Because the faith is substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. So we've got to believe in something before we see it. That is faith, you see. For by the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, God, through His words, created things. And it was all done by faith. That's why when you get back to Genesis, the Bible is constantly talking about when God says out of His mouth, let there be. And then He says a lot of things. One of them that we always go to is light. Let there... He didn't just think it. Right? You'll be surprised people try to get saved underneath their breath. And they think it in their mind, there's something about the confection. How many of you know when you ask, you can't ask underneath your breath. You've got to say something. So when you're doing it then by faith, you're believing God for something. That's why it's important to say, let there be light. And then, obviously, God created light. Now, listen to me. If you get a hold of this message, and I'm going to wrap it up right now. Heidi gave me, I said, man, you know, let's get some things in order. Not, I wasn't talking to her individually to try to get it in order as if it wasn't. But for me, I want to get better. I need to get better. So I said, I never hear about visitors. Visitors fill out a card. And then sweet little Jane that's at home. Hi, Jane, if you're watching. She calls. She'll call you visitors. She's sweet, sweet lady. Whatever you need, just ask her, you know. And she'll find the answer if it's a question. And I said, I want to know when visitors fill out that visitor card and then Precious Jane calls them, is there responses? Now, I did. So Heidi left me all of the visitors. I noticed it came up to about November. So I'm still looking for maybe some. Maybe they're in there somewhere, but I figured they was in order. And I want to know when someone visits and we call them, I want to know what they say. And so I was looking through some of it. And the reason I said that I'm wrapping it up at 11:45 is because there was one person that said I was preaching too long. Mama, why are you laughing? Isn't that funny? And then there'll be others that go, wow, it's not long enough. Or we want to see giftings move. And I'm okay with that, but one thing that I disagree with is that we can't have a service if there's not people laying on the floor and a message in tongues and interpretation. I mean, I love that. Don't get me wrong, because, man, I was raised in a little Southern Baptist church, and you didn't see anybody speaking in a language called tongues that the Bible talks about. Remember that Acts stuff? Remember? That fire that came down from heaven? And they begin to say Mitsubishi, Honda, and Kawasaki. Now that right there, I'm reminded, made someone upset when I did that years ago. Isn't that funny how you get into church and you better be a good preacher. You better be called to do what I do. You know, I mean, if you're not called and try to do it, you'll think about suicide. You'll have to be rebuking it all the time, praise God. What I'm saying is you better be in your calling no matter what. But let me wind down just a little bit. When you ask something in faith and faith with that understanding of now faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you believe and get all the trash, the doubt, the fear, the unbelief, and you ask something in faith, you know what the Word of God says? He'll do it for you. So if a doctor says you're dying, why don't you see what the Word of God says for you? Because the Bible says, which I would believe the Bible well more than an educated doctor. And I believe in doctors. I've said it many times here. On my dad's side, lots of doctors. On mom's side, we believe in doctors, but not as the final authority in my life. They may diagnose me like they did 20 plus years ago with the disease called Crohn's. I was just smart enough to say, Father, I'm asking you that the Word of God be true when it says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And I'm not going to receive the report of a doctor. I'm going to receive the report of you, the great physician. Amen. When we ask that in faith, God will do it for you because He did it for me. I don't have that disease called Crohn's. You know why? Because the Bible says no disease or sickness shall come near my body. Amen. So we've got to start getting fired up. And when we ask God for the wisdom, or we ask God for whatever we're asking Him for, we've got to do it in faith. Now faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you'll do that, and you get all the doubt, fear, and unbelief out of your mind, and you start believing the things which you say will come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you saith. But we've got to start saying and asking in faith. And if you do, watch the mountains move. And by the way, I've never had even the symptoms of Crohn's disease when the doctor told me I would take medicine for the rest of my life. They took out 16 inches of intestine. You think you would have... Well, I don't know if I'm... Well, I won't go there. But... they said I'd have to take medicine for the rest of my life. You know what I did? It's because I think funny. I said, "Yo mama, devil." That's just how I do. I don't know why. But I'll just say, when the devil tries to bring a bad thought to my mind, number one, I'm not speaking it out of my mouth because I know the power and that comes out of my mouth. But when you ask in faith, then praise God, it's lined up. If you do it in faith, you've got to do it according to the Word of God. Say amen to this, y'all. So what I'm trying to convince us all is that it's important to understand faith. And faith is believing in a God that you cannot see. I see His results. I've always said that. I see the trees. And all of us that was created in the image of God and in His likeness. But I can't see God in the physical. Why? Because He's in heaven. And even though 33 and a half years Jesus, which is the Son of God, lived on this earth, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils. Now it's up to all of us to do that, right? Because we're to carry on what Jesus has already established. He's not coming back, y'all. But we can't see Jesus in the flesh. Because we all know when He was crucified, He descended to the belly of the earth, that's hell, and then ascended to the place called heaven, above the heaven, but now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We've got to believe that by faith, y'all. And I'm just telling you, I believe it. I don't have to have proof. Although, we've got the Word of God. And if you believe this Word, it will come to pass. So that's why the Word's trying to teach us. If you ask, and you do it in faith, I'll do it for you. That's what He's saying. Now, I always have to say this really fast. I'm not saying you say things that aren't lined up with the Word of God. I always am reminded of believing God for a sack of money to fall out of the air. But I'm telling you, supernatural, God can cause finances to come to you. I mean, I remember Glenn Smith telling me, my spiritual dad, for y'all to know Glenn, he's in heaven now. And he's the one that pioneered, really, the cowboy movement and started the National Final Service in Oklahoma City. And then when it went to Las Vegas, started the first service at Cheyenne, Wyoming, the daddy of them all rodeo. And a mighty man of God. And I remember him telling me one time, matter of fact, it's in the book. It's in his book. And we have that book available here. God's, what is it called? The Apostle Cowboy Style. You need to get it. Because in the book, there was a time when he didn't have any money. I mean, by faith, he was doing ministry and he was just out of money. And he got back home from a ministry trip. And he had already given his girls enough money for the week. And they just didn't have any. And he just wanted a hamburger. So you know what he said? He said, "Father, I'd just love a $20 bill." Back in that day, this has been 30, 40 years ago. Back in that day, it'd buy quite a bit, not just a piece of gum. Remember that? And all of a sudden, a tumbleweed. Anybody ever seen a tumbleweed? You live in our country up north. And a tumbleweed came across right by him, and there was a $20 bill in it. Supernaturally, God can do anything. But it's going to take seed first. And that's what I'm really trying to say. There's got to be seed sown. And Glenn planted enough seed, praise God. So I'm just trying to say this morning, come on. It's time to start asking God, but do it in faith. If you lack wisdom, Father, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I don't feel like I'm in the right spot in this job. I need some wisdom. Do I leave? I wouldn't. I would stay until God opens the door somewhere else. People, a lot of times, they just leave out of faith. Or ministers. I tell them all the time, listen, just because you have a heart to minister doesn't mean you're to quit your job immediately. No, no, no. Let God work you out of a job, because ministry takes a lot of time, especially if you're a traveling minister, an evangelist. Don't just up and quit because you have a call. No, no, no. Because you'll starve. Or you'll have to beg churches, can I come preach? And all when they call me to come to preach, and if they call, if it's Holy Ghost led, I call them. But if they call, you know what they really want? An offering. That's just because, I mean, it's easy to do, though. And I'm just saying, no, be Holy Ghost led, you see. So come on, get your faith up. We're talking about faith. We're faith people. We're faith people. You cannot be a Christian without being a faith person, because we can't see God in the physical. But today, now we got some ammunition. When that devil says something like, you're going to die in 6 months, here's what you do. You say, Father, I need wisdom. You know what God's going to say to do? Go to the Word of God, boy. Get over there. Go to Peter. Get over there. Read by Jesus' stripes you're healed. Read Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Read the Word of God. And you get the Word of God out of your mouth. Father, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. What are you doing? You're asking in faith. Amen. So faith arise in Jesus' name in our lives. Put your hand over your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, every person that has their hand over their heart, I ask you just to begin to cause what comes out of the mouth that came from the mind, the head, to go down into the heart, so that that faith arises, that when they ask for whatever they're going to ask in faith, that it comes to pass in Jesus' name. So Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing in the lives of us, your people, your church. Not this building, but the church. And thank you, Lord, that when we ask in faith, things manifest. Now, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, first of all, you need to get saved. You need to. The Bible is clear. It just says if you'll confess. This is Romans 10 and 9. If you'll confess, it's amazing about that word confessing and asking. If you confess the Lord Jesus and believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Born again. So the question this morning is that you. If you left this earth and stood before God on the great judgment day, and that's what will happen when you leave the earth. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're born again, if Jesus is the Lord of your life. So the question this morning, is He your Lord? Have you thought about what would happen to you when you die and leave this earth? Because biblically, and I believe the Bible, there's two places, one called heaven and one called hell. And obviously, I'm here because I want you to go to hell. And honestly, in my heart is right. I don't want anybody, or I want you to go to heaven. Sorry about that. So I caught it. I think it was the Lord saying, correction. And I saw Betsy look over to Jamie like, uh-oh, he wants everybody to go to hell. No, I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to that place called hell. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you, Lord, for correcting me. But think about it. I don't want you to go to that place. I would rather you go to the place called heaven, but I can't make you go there. You're going to have to make the decision right now. If you're watching, you're going to have to make the decision. And the only way to get to the place called heaven, according to John chapter 14, is through Jesus. Not being a good person, thank God you are. Not through good works, thank God you do good works. No, through Jesus. So if you're here this morning or you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to confess a prayer with me and ask Jesus to be your Lord, to be your Savior. And we're going to do it all together. Believers, if Jesus is your Lord and you have that confidence, and you should, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. But if there's anyone here or watching that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now by asking, there's that word, asking Jesus to come into your heart and save you. So I'm going to pray the prayer. All of you believers, we're going to be praying it with someone that maybe has never given their heart to the Lord Jesus. They've never prayed this prayer. I'm just saying, do it now. And us believers, we're going to pray it with you. So we're going to do it out loud, right? We're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. Remember, it says if you'll knock on the door to be opened, this is what we're doing. We're saying, Father, let us in. And let's pray it just like this. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of every sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you have been raised from the dead. I believe it. Therefore, Jesus is now my Lord. And when I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven, not hell. Amen to that, y'all. And Jesus is now Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, I'm saying right now, don't you dare be afraid or ashamed of Jesus being your Lord. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you asked Jesus to come into your life, this morning, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand and declare it. And here's why I do this. Most of you know it. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says this, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. So in other words, don't ever be ashamed of Jesus being your Lord. If he just became your Lord and you prayed that prayer, get your hand up at the count of three. Ready? Boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Appreciate you a lot. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me, everybody. I'm telling you, I told the ministers at the conference at this church right here, more people get born again. And I told them they may not stick. They may, God had just brought them here, get them born again because the other churches won't. And then they get back to get mentored and discipled. That's fine with me, y'all. I love it when people get born again, and I'm very proud that we have a new sister in Jesus' name. Amen. Now,